Hello again out there in Birdland. It's Hanson Tebbets along with
Chip Darmstadt.
And here we are, your weekend edition of For the Birds. Another very pleasant week with a little bit of moisture, some decent storms, and a little bit of heat and a little bit of very pleasant weather. So it was all in all not a bad week, I don't think.
Yeah, it was a keeper for sure.
So one bird that I'm consistently hearing and chattering, even on the hottest of days, is one of my favorites, which is the indigo bunting. And my understanding is, Chip, you're seeing that at the North Branch Nature Center as well.
Yeah, and hearing them sing everywhere I go, it seems. Yeah, definitely hearing and seeing them at the Nature Center. We actually banded one this morning. But yeah, they're very vocal this time of year. So listen for their lively, bouncy song with lots of paired notes. So they kind of, it has a finchy, bouncy sound, but those paired notes are really distinctive.
All right, let's take a listen here. The indigo bunting. Kind of a neat bird, but consistently, and I often see it at the top of the tree.
Yeah, top of a tree or a sapling. And it's one of those drive-by birds. I mean, in terms of their singing, like when you're driving with the windows down, its song really carries. And as I'm driving on a more rural road with fields, I'm often hearing that indigo bunting, and those paired notes, again, are really distinctive. Help, help, quick, fire.
Excellent. And now my understanding is that you also have been able to band some at the North Branch Nature Center?
Yeah, we caught one this morning. It was a female, so it was not the brilliant indigo color of the male. But they do have some hints of that indigo color. It's a fairly brown, nondescript finchy bird. So it's got that finchy seed-eating beak. But largely brownish, some vague streaking on the breast. But then some of the feathers on the wing and the tail and the wing coverts have indigo edging, just kind of a little muted. But they're beautiful in their own right. This time of year, I don't think I've seen a female indigo bunting all year. I see those males or hear the males all the time, but the females are way less conspicuous. And often I only see them when we're bird banding.
Yeah, kind of cool. So what makes them so indigo or blue? They're just lacking the pigment, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's interesting. I know some bluebirds, like blue jays, the blue comes from reflective light, I believe. So they don't actually have like blue pigment. And I don't know if that's true for indigo bunting or not. I think maybe blue pigment is in feathers is very rare, like naturally occurring or produced blue pigment. I think it's often more of what's called a structural color. That's basically it's light bouncing off the feather and appearing blue. So I don't know exactly if that's the case with indigo bunting, but that's my guess anyway, that the blue, that brilliant indigo may not be an actual pigment, but more of a play of the light, mm-hmm. Off the feathers. So yeah. And in the case of the female, she's largely brown. And it just has that tinge of indigo color on edging some of the feathers.
Yeah, and it's a little bigger than a warbler, right? It's not a big bird, but it's about the size of a goldfinch, maybe bigger than a goldfinch.
Yeah, I was going to say goldfinch too. One thing that's tricky too is in certain light, the indigo bunting appears black from a distance or if it's in shadow. So that always makes it a little tricky is that you may not, if it's from far away and you don't have binoculars, you may just look like a little black silhouette singing away. So again, it's great to learn that song if you can, that help, help, quick, fire, fire, bouncy song, because then you'll start finding even, you know, a lot more indigo buntings when you're out and about.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Getting a nice photograph, it's all about positioning of the light and where it's perched for the indigo bunting.
Yeah.
But the sound, though, you're like, wow, they just keep going at it, you know?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, and you said earlier too, like all day long, kind of like a red-eyed vireo. They, you know, they're a pretty consistent singer throughout the day, and just in the last couple of weeks, I don't know if it's been a resurgence of song, but I've been hearing a lot of them.
Yeah, you bet. The Indigo Bunting for the Birds, your weekend edition. Halfway through the show, there is a behind the scene. You can hear a oven bird as well. But another bird that I often, and I haven't seen it lately, but I've gotten a couple of people mentioning it to me, is the brown thrasher, another kind of summertime bird.
Yeah, a somewhat scarce one. I don't think I've seen one yet this year. So they're kind of spotty in their distribution in Vermont. Do you see them around your place in Cabot?
Yeah, I saw one earlier this summer, and I've gotten a couple of notes from folks. We used to have one years ago that used to nest back when I was younger and had to go get the cows and whatever. There was always a spot that this thing would have. And it would nest in this sort of scrubby thing that was maybe 6 or 7 feet tall, not very big, but not a very attractive tree or whatever. But there was always it seemed like the brown thrasher always was nesting in there.
Oh, yeah. They used to nest at the Nature Center, but years ago, I think their habitat has dwindled in Vermont. It's one of these species that really relies on early successional forest. You really kind of shrubby, brushy growth and, not as common as they used to be. Fun to listen to them sing. They're one of the mimic thrushes, so they're related to mockingbirds and catbirds, and they have a really complicated song. Remember, we were talking about vireos last week and how vireos string together these phrases in their song and kind of cycle through those phrases. And brown thrashers do a similar thing, and I think they have even more phrases than a vireo does. And you'll hear them incorporate the songs of other birds, and like a mockingbird, they repeat. They don't repeat as often as a mockingbird, but each phrase they sing, they often double. Whereas a mockingbird might repeat a phrase three times or even more.
Good stuff. So the brown thrasher, and it's about the size of what? About the size of a blue jay, maybe a little smaller.
Yeah, I'd say blue jay size. A very long tail, kind of like a blue jay. Fairly long beak, that staring yellow eye, and that rufous brown color, almost orange, is unique. Lots of streaks on the chest, belly, whitish wing bars. So very, very decked out bird. No mistaking it when you get to see one, which is not often enough.
All right, let's take a listen. If we can listen to the brown thrasher. Yeah, it's got that sort of mockingbird type sound to me. It sounds like a mockingbird.
Yeah, if you hear one, especially if you're in the Champlain Valley where mockingbirds occur more often, you have to really concentrate. Am I hearing double songs or triple songs, like thrasher versus mockingbird? Mm-hmm. And catbirds are mimic thrushes too, but they just they're not as adept at mimicking, and they don't repeat songs immediately after another. So they have a lot of more squawky notes. But yeah, mockingbird, catbird, and thrush are all in that mimic thrush family.
Good stuff. All right, very pleasant weekend with the brown thrasher and indigo bunting. And look at the time. We got to fly out of here for another weekend. I'm Anson Tebbets.
Chip Darmstadt.
Or the birds.